Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever it is you might be listening to this. While I'm sitting here at 7:30 in the evening, finally getting around to doing my devotion, after all, it is Canada Day, and we had all the goings on at the church, so we were there, then it was time for a nap, and then, well, you know, how time gets away from you. But here I am. I wouldn't want you to miss the treat of having a devotion to listen to. I don't know why you like to listen to them, but I'm glad and only too glad to do them for you, or with you, or on you, who knows. Today I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is trying to lay it out to the people just exactly, you know, what's going on here? I've been here, I've been doing all this healing, all this preaching, all this carrying on and being with you and loving you, and I'm getting treated so terribly by so many. What's going on? Hear now the words of our blessed Savior, as they come to us in the Gospel of Matthew. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you and had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Well, we all know that Sodom didn't end up too good. That was a bad thing. And then one of the ladies walking back turned around and looked and turned to stone. Wow. So there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we need to do other than believe and share the gospel with others. That's what it's all about. And yet, the people couldn't get it. There was Jesus right in front of them, healing people. A man who had not been educated because he was living with the poorer class. He had no education. And yet he could quote the scriptures without opening them up. He didn't need the scrolls. He knew it all. And yet the people wouldn't believe, and particularly the leadership. But the leadership had their own unique problem. They wanted to keep in power. They wanted to continue to run the church. Not a whole lot different than today. We have this hierarchy in all the congregation, in all the churches that controls the church and tries to tell you what you can and can't do. And they try to do interpretations for you. And Jesus says, whoa, back up a bit here. Think a bit. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to tell you this or tell you that or challenge you with this or challenge you with that. I'm quite simply here to give you the word of God. You make up your mind what you want to do with it, how you want to handle it, who you want to share it with, or whether you just want to throw it away and continue to live the life you're living. And if that's your choice, it's your choice. But Jesus is getting frustrated because people are looking for something that's not that he's about to give. They have this high expectation that when the Savior comes, he's going to destroy all their enemies. He's going to make them the world boss again. They're going to be the king of the world. And they're going to have all that power and all that might and all that money and all that. And everybody will be so well off. And Jesus is trying to tell them, you got it all wrong. This isn't how it's going to work. When you become a Christian, when you follow me and worship God, you're going to have good times. You're going to have bad times. You're going to have times when you struggle. You're going to have times when you don't have money. There's going to be times when life is difficult, but you'll be at peace because you know that God is watching over you, that I'm walking with you on that journey, and I can bring you comfort and bring those people into your life who can bring you some peace. I mean, He goes on to say, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of sackcloth and ashes, in the day of judgment, than for you. And I think Jesus could say that right now about Canada. A lot of us, a lot of people here, and some of them supposed Christian churches who have got it all mixed up and backwards, who dictate to their congregation what they should do and what they should believe and what is right and what is wrong. Jesus says we need to teach. We need to teach the Word of God. We need to teach what God is looking for, and we need to let people figure it out for themselves. We got to just encourage them and walk with them, not dictate to them, not tell them, like if you're in a Baptist church, well, your child can't be baptized, okay? We don't baptize kids. Or when you're in a United church, well, we baptize kids because we think it's the right thing to do, but we don't encourage the family to stay here. We don't want them to come to church every Sunday. We don't even really care if they're Christians, which is the whole purpose here, is to baptize Christians, to make them Christians, to recognize their love of Christ, to turn them into people of believers. And I'm as guilty as any other minister. I know that I'm probably not going to see that family again, maybe. I think out of all the baptisms I've ever done, there's probably been 5 or 6 families that ended up coming to church that was new to them, but they ended up coming to church and they ended up going to church. But in most cases, they come because grandma said, my grandchildren need to be baptized. And you were baptized, so they're going to get baptized. Oh, by the way, baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't. I'm sorry, I hate to tell you that. But what it does do is when you have it, you get recognized as a Christian because you did it because you wanted to. And that's where the Baptists have got it. That's what they're saying. Jesus was baptized when he was a young adult and could make decisions and had to make decisions. And that's what we do. Or they do with the people that come to them. They have to study the Bible. They have to go to classes. They have to learn this and learn that. And then they will give their witness and be baptized. I can remember when we were doing youth groups, young people, when they came for their confirmation. This is what the Baptist would have called baptism, okay? Because there was education required. You studied for 6 months to 6 months. You came once every other week and you had a short class and you talked about the Bible. You talked about Jesus. You talked about God. You talked about how the Christian influence was working in the community. And they made their confessions about what they believed. And at the end of the day, they were able to say, thank you for that time together. And I believe. And even if they didn't, they still got confirmed. Because it may not be right, but then again, it may not be wrong. Because the church isn't about the church. The church is about God and Jesus. And our duty and our responsibility is to take the gospel out beyond the walls of our building and take it out to people in need and to walk with them, to share with them, to talk to them, to tell them little bits and pieces about Jesus, and heaven forbid, to even pray for them in short prayers. That's all we're called for. And Jesus said, to end his statement, he said, but I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment. And what happened to Sodom? Totally destroyed. So Jesus is saying, basically, there's an end coming, and it's not going to be nice. We know that. We sometimes struggle believing it. But that's what we've been told. And we're not called to question it. We're called to follow it. We're called to believe. And we're called to share our belief Let us pray. O gracious and loving Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the gift you gave us in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us understand. Help us to read what Jesus has said. Help us to see the picture of where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. Give us the wisdom and the strength and the courage, and open our hearts to listen to the Holy Spirit. In all this we ask in the name of your Son, who when he taught us to pray, taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Once again, I'm sorry this is coming so late, but it's been one of those days. Anyway, here's a little story I leave with you. A man and his wife were making their first doctor visit prior to the birth of their first child. After everything checked out, the doctor took a small stamp and stamped the wife's stomach with indelible ink. And the couple was curious about what the stamp was for. So when they got home, the husband dug out his magnifying glass to try to see what it was. It was in very tiny letters, the stamp read, When you can read this, come back and see me. Amen and amen.